was put to the scholars. My Chanukah. What is the background of Chanukah? The answer that was given is one that we today take for granted. The scholar in charge of that school repeated the story of the miracle of the oil. You recall that in 168 before the Common Era, Antiochus Epiphanes, the emperor of the Greek kingdom in Syria, required all of his subject states to set up in their sanctuary the idol of Zeus Olympius, the patron god of the Greeks, and to offer a patriotic sacrifice to the idol. This was not difficult to do in most of the communities. Most peoples had pantheons, lists of many gods, rows of idols in their temples. To add one more was an easy enough thing to do. But for our people, bound by the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any manner of likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or the earth below, or the waters under the earth, to have set up such an idol in the holy of place, the Beit HaMikdash, would have been blasphemy. The idol was set up, force will out. And those who were compromisers, those who were timid, those who saw nothing wrong with bowing to the force of the Greeks, continued to come to the temple and to make their peace as best they could with God. But a certain priest of the town of Modin, Mattathias by name, was very angry. And when a representative of the Greeks came to Modin, he slew that representative, and then he summoned his five sons and any who would follow him, any who were zealous for the law, to go into the mountains, become a guerrilla army battling the Syrians, the Greeks, in order to achieve the purity of the worship required by our tradition. And they fought for 3 years. And finally, during a period of time when the larger forces of the Greeks were concentrated elsewhere, the Temple Mount was recaptured. And in December of 165 before the Common Era, the troops of Judah the Maccabee, the eldest son of Mattathias, entered the temple compound. They found everything there desecrated. They proceeded to purify the temple. They wanted to light the great menorah. They wanted to light the altar fires. The oil that was required for these lights had to be specially prepared by the priests. Only one small vial was to be found, only enough oil for these lights for a single day. By a miracle, it lasted for 8 days, thus the 8 days of Chanukah, the 8 lights on our menorah, thus the meaning of Chanukah. It is a time, this rabbi told his disciples, when we thank God for the miracle of redemption. Rock of ages, let our song praise thy saving power. Thou amidst the raging foes wast our sheltering tower. Now it's an interesting story. It's a beautiful little miracle story. Reminds us how dependent we are on the grace and mercy of God. But it's interesting to note that this class took place 400 years after the first Chanukah in 165 before the Common Era. And certainly if this story were well known, had been broadly accepted among our people, the sage, one of the most sophisticated of the teachers, talking to an advanced class, would not have had to repeat to him this child's tale. And in point of fact, when we look back into our history, we discover that the Maccabees knew nothing of a menorah. They knew nothing of the miracle of the cruse of oil. There are two chronicles from within a century of the time of these events, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Neither tells of the miracle of the oil. 100 years later, after the destruction of the temple in the year 70, the Jewish historian Josephus explains Hanukkah as a feast of lights. And he explains it as a feast of lights because God brought light back into the temple swiftly as the light of the dawn. He knows nothing of the miracle of the cruse of oil. But in point of fact, it isn't until the 2nd and 3rd century, 400 years after the event, that this miracle story was told in the first instance. Now, what's the background of the menorah, of the 8 days, of the light, of the miracle, of the cruse of oil? It's an interesting history. Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days because the feast of the dedication of the sanctuary was traditionally celebrated for 8 days. When the Maccabees came back into the temple compound and they wanted to celebrate a great festival of purification, they looked back through scripture and they found that when Solomon had dedicated the first temple, that Hanukkah, that feast of dedication, had lasted for 8 days. And when they looked further in our history, they found that when Nehemiah had refurbished the temple in the 5th century before the Common Era, after the Babylonian exile, that Hanukkah, that dedication, had also lasted for 8 days. The idea of Hanukkah, the relationship of Hanukkah and 8 days, was immemorial. Now, why the lights? Lights burnt in the temple. There was a great golden menorah before the Holy of Holies, a 7-branched candlestick called the Tree of Life. It represented the universe, what their conception of the universe was, alive, a light with the brilliance of God, with the creative power of God. And there was in the temple an altar, and sacrifices were offered on that altar, and that altar had to be lit. It was lit with a sacred fire. The lighting of those fires, the lighting of the candles in the menorah, these were central elements in temple worship. Indeed, to this very day, traditional Jews express the messianic hope of our people in a prayer which reads, "May God return to his temple the holy fires of our people." Leshev Ishei Adonai Lidvir Vitecha. Fire, light, and the 8 days are immemorially associated with Hanukkah, with a feast of dedication. But why the menorah? More especially, why the little miracle story as the of the cruse of oil? The reason seems to be this. When Hanukkah was first celebrated, the Hasmoneans, the family of the Maccabees, established it as a yearly festival. It was not to occur only once, but annually. And it became the 4th of July for our people. It was the great festival of independence. They had fought, they'd had their valley forge, they had won, and now there was a great festival of independence appropriately on the day in which the fires of God had been rekindled in the sanctuary. Now imagine what would happen. God forbid an enemy should come and overwhelm these United States. If Canada suddenly would become an all-powerful nation and send its armies south and overwhelm our country, and if suddenly we would all be subjugated to a powerful neighbor who controlled our sovereignty and our freedoms, so powerful a neighbor that we could not hope to rebel successfully against them, what would happen to the 4th of July? The answer is the 4th of July would be ordered out of existence by the conqueror. It would become an underground holiday, a time when the patriots would meet and the more hotheads among them would plan some kind of guerrilla action against the enemy, against the oppressor, against those who now controlled our country. Now, when the hotheads met on that 4th of July, on the ancient Hanukkah, they faced Rome, all-powerful, mighty, imperial Rome. The idea of raising a successful rebellion against Rome was an attractive one, but an impossible one. When our people, in fact, did rebel against Rome in the year 66 after the Common Era, 1 million Jews died in that revolt. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was proscribed as a place of habitation for our people. It was a total disaster. in order to prevent a repetition of that kind of disaster. The sages tried to transform the focus of Hanukkah from the sword of the Maccabees to the miracle of God. And they began to tell a series of stories about Hanukkah, which centered the interest not on the heroism, the courage, the martial valor of the Maccabees, but on the redemptive power of God. So the story of the cruse of oil. And it was a miracle that the oil should last for 8 days. So when they lit the lights of Hanukkah, they added a didactic paragraph to the liturgy. Hanerot halalu she'anu madlikim al hanisim val haniflot. These lights which we are kindling, we kindle because of the miracles, because of the wondrous acts of God. When they wrote a great hymn for Hanukkah, it was the Rock of Ages, where we praise God for his saving power. When they created a game for Hanukkah, they created the dreidel, a little top which we spin. We put in a coin, we take out a coin, depending upon how the top falls. And the letters which are on the top, the Nun, the Gimel, the He, the Shin, represent the Hebrew phrase, Nes Gadol Hayasham. A great miracle occurred then. The rabbis took this 4th of July holiday and took out of it the emphasis on George Washington and on Valley Forge and on Lexington and on all the military interests, and placed it on the miracle, on the miraculous power, will of God to save. This is part of the messianic teaching of our people. And it turned Hanukkah around and turned into a very different kind of holiday than Hanukkah had originally been. Now, I tell you this history of Hanukkah this morning not only for its intrinsic interest, but because Hanukkah suggests so many ideas which are appropriate to this service of celebration. How did the first Hanukkah come about? It came about because a few had the will and the courage and the determination. Most great events in history occur when people want them deep down, but when a few are willing to dare and to do and to devote themselves. And so it was a year ago that a few determined what we needed to do and set out to make the plans and did the largest amount of the work. All of us knew it needed to be done, but it was the vision of the few. Few who became the working cadre, the working core of this campaign. And there's a second theme implicit in Hanukkah, a theme we often forget about. In 165, the first Hanukkah was celebrated. The temple was refurbished and purified. But it took another 23 years before the Syrian Greeks gave up the idea of reconquering Judea, of reimposing the arbitrary nature of their will upon this people. For 23 more years, our people had to struggle on before Simon could establish himself. Simon, one of the brothers of the Maccabees, could establish himself as the high priest and king of Judah. Now, our campaign won't go on another 23 years, but it will go on some weeks. There are promises which need to be tied down. There is work which needs to be completed until final success is achieved. And furthermore, what was Hanukkah? In both of its forms, early and late, it was a time for the kindling of lights. Why did we have this campaign? We had it to free ourselves of the shadow of payments owed by this congregation on the building which might have cut into our services, our operations. That shadow has been removed. We can kindle a new kind of light, remind ourselves that our primary effort exists to serve, to provide for worship, to provide for learning, to provide for community, to provide for the ongoing growth in faith, in understanding, and in encouragement for this community in Israel. Hanukkah is a feast of light. We must enlighten through our school and our adult education program. We must encourage through worship, song, participation. We must kindle the light of faith insofar as it can be kindled in the hearts of the many. My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? This Hanukkah represents a time of great opportunity for a congregation such as ours. The burdens of financial worry have been lifted from us. The burden of responsibility is clearly before us. This is a time not of security for Israel, but a time of concern. There is much that must be done for our brothers in Israel and the Soviet Union and Syria and elsewhere. There is much which we must do for ourselves so that we can understand in this confusing and convulsed age the message of our tradition and weave something of the grace of its teaching into the fabric of our marriages and of our families and of our community, so that we in a time of confusion and of grayness can find in each day some measure of beauty and of hope of the possibility that God has placed there. My Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a time for the lighting of lights. These lights have been lit. The life of our congregation has been enlightened. And now the time of hard dedication to basic purpose is upon us. Amen.
establish the earth, whose glory is revealed in the heavens above, and whose greatness is manifest throughout the world. He is our God, there is none else. We bow the head in reverence and worship the King of Kings, the Holy One, praise be He, the King of Kings, the Holy One, praise be He, the Hanakrukoreim, Umishtach Avim Umorim, Lifne Melech, Malke Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, praise be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, praise be He.
May the time not be distant, O God, when thy name shall be worshipped in all the earth, when unbelief shall disappear, and error be no more. Fervently we pray the day may come when all men shall invoke thy name, when corruption and evil shall give way to purity and goodness, when superstition shall no longer enslave the mind, nor idolatry blind the eye, when all who dwell on earth shall know to thee alone every knee must bend and every tongue give homage. May all created in thine image recognize that they are brethren, so that one in spirit and one in fellowship they may be forever united before thee. Then shall thy kingdom be established on earth, and the word of an ancient seer be fulfilled. The Lord will reign forever and ever. On that day the Lord shall be one, and his name shall be one.
Bayom Hahu Yehye Adonai Echad Bayom Hahu Yehye Adonai Echad Shmo Echad Bayom Bayom Hahu Adonai Echad.
To you who mourn the loss of loved ones, let there come the comfort of the hope, that though the dust returns to the earth as it was, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Death is not the end. Our dear ones have passed through the gateway of the grave into the peace of life that endureth always. We know that all of us must tread the same path, though we know not when the hour may strike. Let us so live that the coming of that hour shall find us unafraid. May our deeds do honor to the memory of our beloved whom thou hast taken unto thyself. In unshaken trust in thy wisdom and loving kindness, we give praise unto thy name. Itgadal, itkadash, shmei rabba. V'almad ivrachirutei v'yamlich malachutei. V'chayechon v'yomechon v'chayei d'chol beit Yisrael. V'agala v'zman kari v'imru, amen. Yehe shmei rabba mavorach l'olam ul'olmei olmaya. Itbarach v'ishtabach v'itpo'ar v'itromam v'itnasei. V'itadar v'itale v'italal shmei d'kudusha b'richu. Lelamin kol birchata v'shirata, tush b'chata v'nechemata d'amiron b'olma v'imru, amen. To the souls of Eudes Rose, John R. Sloss, Louis Belkin, and Hilda Stone, who passed away from our midst during this last week, and to the souls of Dorothy Gimpt Jacobson, Dr. David V. Rosenberg, Myrna Jean Oppenheim, Morris Elsner, Arthur Felber, Lizzie Lederer, Leonard J. Sternheimer, Phoebus Felber, Alex Baumel, Florence L. Weiner, Florence Benson Dubois, Abram B. Ephraimson, Norman S. Copeland, Rosa Cohn, Fanny H. Weber, Michael J. Margolis, Phil Meldon, Stella S. Kohler, David Safir, Jean Amster, Rabbi Abba Hillel Silver, the anniversaries of whose deaths occurred during this past week, and the souls of all those whom we at this hour remember in tenderest affection. May peace and bliss be granted in the world of eternal life. These still live on earth in the acts of goodness they performed in the hearts of those who cherish their memory. May the beauty of their lives abide ever among us as a loving benediction. Yehei shalom rabba min shemaya v'chayim, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru, amen. Hose shalom b'imromav hu yase shalom, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru, amen. May the Father of peace send peace to all who mourn, and may he comfort all the bereaved among us. May I remind you that the last in our fall series of adult education lectures, our Monday evening series, which is being devoted this year to the bicentennial to the Jew in America, will take place tomorrow evening here at the branch at 8 p.m. Our speaker will be Mark Lee Raphael, a brilliant young historian who is on the faculty of Ohio State University in Columbus. And his theme will be caste and class among America's Jews. This afternoon, at 5 p.m., the Mr. and Mrs. Club of the Temple will celebrate its annual Chanukah party, they and their children here at the branch, and there'll be noise and candles galore. Tuesday is part of our regular Temple Women's Association day. There'll be a program at 1 o'clock, which Miriam Lykand and Phyllis Cam will review Golda Meir's new book, My Life. That's at 1 p.m. on Tuesday. And this Friday, we have our first Friday for the month of December. At 8:15 p.m. here at the branch, the famed jurist Louis Neiser will be with us for a Sabbath day of justice. And I warn you, if you would hope to come, to be sure that you get your tickets no later than tomorrow, because this program is by way of being out of seats. Next Sunday morning at these services, I'm going to speak on the theme Zionism. So much has been said about Zionism these last weeks that I thought it would be a good chance for all of us to remind ourselves as to what the word means, the history of the Zionist movement, so that we can answer those who ask us questions, and I will try to focus on the major themes that have gone into the Zionist movement this coming Sunday morning at our worship service. As you know, we have a record, the 125th anniversary record of the temple, as our thanks and gratitude to all those who participated as workers in this campaign. If any of you did not pick up your record before you came into these services, if you would do so as you leave, we would appreciate it. It'll save postage and a lot of secretarial work. It goes to you with our thanks for all that you did, each and every one of you, to make this campaign of ours a success, the remarkable success that it has been. And now will you rise and join with me in a final benediction. Lord, thou didst give strength to the Maccabees of old and to our people throughout the generations, courage and will and conviction. We pray that in our day we may not be found wanting, that this house of God may truly be a sacred place in which thy teaching is available to all who are thirsty, in which the moment of worship and meditation is beautifully presented to all in need of encouragement and inspiration, in which the fellowship and brotherhood of Israel is available to all who wish to share with us in thy sacred work. Boachem b'shalom, seitchem l'shalom. As your coming was in peace, so may your going be unto peace. Amen.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee do I pray. O Lord, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice. In the morning will I order my prayer unto thee, and will look forward. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Evil shall not sojourn with thee. But as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness, will I come into thy house. I will bow down toward thy holy temple in the fear of thee.
O God and God of our fathers, we come into thy house with gladness. We enter thy court with praise. Here we are reminded of the high and holy purpose which thou hast set for us. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us understanding that we may keep thy commandments. Then shall we truly serve thee and declare thy name amongst the people. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his doings among the people.
Sing unto him, sing praises unto him, speak ye all our hearts.
Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord with his strength, seek his presence continually.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are on the earth.
Remember his covenants forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations.
The covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac.
And he established it unto Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
When they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another,
he did not suffer no man to destroy them. Yea, for their sake he reproved kings.
Touch not my anointed one.
Baruch et Adonai Hamvarah. Praise ye the Lord, to whom all praises due. Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Le'olam Voed. Praise be the Lord, to whom all his praises due forever and ever.
Baruchu et Adonai Hamvarah. Baruchu et Adonai Hamevorach. Baruch Adonai Hamevorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Adonai Hamevorach Leolam Vaed. La la la. La 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 la.
O Lord, in all the world, in thy loving kindness, thou causest the morning dawn to give light to all earth's creatures. By thy will, the marvels of creation are daily renewed. The heavens declare thy glory, and the earth reveals thy handiwork. Creator of light and darkness, thou art praised day by day, and in the beauty and harmony of all thy works. Great has been our love for thee, and thy compassion boundless. Our fathers put their trust in thee, and thou didst teach them the law of life. Be gracious unto us. Then we understand and fulfill the teachings of thy word. Enlighten our eyes in the law, that we may cling unto thy commandments. Unite our hearts to love and revere thee. We trust in thee and rejoice in thy saving. From thee comes our help. Thou hast chosen us and drawn us nigh unto thee to serve thee in faithfulness. Joyfully do we pick up our voices and sing in our unity. Praise be thou, O God, who in thy love has called thy people Israel to serve thee.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Le'olam Voed. Praise be his name. Glorious kingdom is forever and ever.
Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. Baruch Shem. from Vaed. Baruch Shem Kavod, Shem Kavod Malchuto, Leolam Vaed.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
Ubekol nafshecha, ubekol meodecha, vehayu hadvarim haele, asher anochi metzavecha hayom al levavecha. Shinon tam levanecha, veribatabom, beshivtecha beveitecha, uvelechtecha vaderech, uveshokbecha, uvkumecha. Ukshatam leotal yadecha, vehayu letotafot b'neinecha, uktavotam al mezuzot b'techa, uvisharecha.
Heaven shall acknowledge thy wonders, and the voice of the water shall glorify thee. Yea, all the people shall give thanks unto thee, and all nations shall praise thee. Our fathers choose thee alone to serve, and no strange God beside thee. Lo, thy works are very many and very great, and all of them shall praise thy name, O Lord. Support the world from
beginning
and grow not weary. How shall I come before God, the Most High? How shall I bow before the God of old? I will build an altar of the broken fragments of my heart and humble my spirit within me. In sacrifice and meat offering thou dwellest not. Sin offering and burnt offering thou hast not asked.
By my broken spirit that is this sacrifice,
let it be acceptable upon thy From everlasting unto everlasting, all things in thee, and thou art in all.
Without
thy might, there is no help.
Me, Hamolcha, Oh, say, faith.
Redeem those who are oppressed and deliver those who are persecuted. Praise be thou, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Tor Israel, come
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, and exalted. Thou bestowest loving kindness upon all thy children. Thou rememberest the devotion of the fathers. In thy love, thou bringest redemption to their descendants for the sake of thy name. Thou art our King and helper, our Savior and protector. Praise be thou, O Lord, shield of Abraham.
Baruch atah Hagibor vehanora el elyon gomel chasadim tovim vekone hakol vezoche chasde avot umevi gela levene venehem Leman Shema Be'ahava Melech Ozer Moshia Umagen Baruch Ata
mighty to save. In loving kindness thou sustainest the living. In the multitude of thy mercies thou preservest all. Thou upholdest the falling and healest the sick, freest the captives and keepest faith with thy children in death as in life. Who is like unto thee, Almighty God, author of life and death, source of salvation? Praise be thou, O Lord, who has implanted within us eternal life.
We sanctify thy name on earth as the heavens declare thy glory. And in the words of the prophet we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Nekadesh et shemcha ba'olam keshem shemakdishim oto b'shemem arum kakatuv al yad nevi'echa ve'karazezeh Bechol haaretz Baruch havod Adonai Mimkomo Echad hu Eloheinu hu avinu hu malkeinu Moshienu Vehu Yashminu Berachamav Lene Kol Chai Yimloch Adonai Leolam Elohai
Father, who has graciously endowed mankind with reason and understanding, send us the light of thy truth, that we may gain insight into the wisdom of thy ways. Banish from our hearts every desire and thought of evil, that we may truly revere thy holy name. Forgive our sins, pardon our failings, and remove from us suffering and sorrow. May the erring and wayward be led to know and to serve thee in newness of heart, and may those who love virtue and do the right ever be glad of thy favor. Bless our land with plenty and our nation with peace. May righteousness dwell in our midst and virtue reign among us. Thou knowest our needs before we utter them, and ordainest all things for the best. Praise be thou, O Lord, who hearest prayer. O Lord God, creator of all the world, thou hast blessed man with noble powers. Teach us to seek the good that we may wisely use these powers. We thank thee for the duty of bearing thy word unto the children of men. Enlighten us that we may approach this sacred task with an understanding of the message that we bring. May we be filled with zeal for knowledge, lest ignorance leave us powerless. Strengthen thou our faith, that we may kindle the light of thy presence in the hearts of others. O Lord of God, of all the world, show thou the pathway of peace unto all the children of men. Imbue them with the desire for brotherliness and goodwill, which alone can bring enduring peace. May the nations realize that the triumphs of war turn to ashes, and that justice and righteousness are better than conquest and dominions. Power. But by thy Spirit, that the blessings of peace can be made secure. Amen.
The service will continue with a reading from 1 Maccabees, which will be found on page 87 of the prayer books. It was on the 15th day of the month of Kislev that the messengers of King Antiochus set up an idol on the altar of God and had incense burnt in its honor. And they gave orders that the people of Judea should forsake the law and the covenant, profane the Sabbath, and pollute the sanctuary. and many chose rather to die than to forsake the holy covenant. And the king's officers came to the city of Modin and said to Mattathias, the son of John, the son of Simon the Hasmonean, a priest of the sons of Joreb, who dwelt in Modin, "Thou art a great man, and strengthened with sons and brethren in the city. Come then, fulfill the king's command, as all the heathen have done, and the men of Judah, and they that remain in Jerusalem. And thou shalt be in the number of the king's friends." But Mattathias answered and spake with a loud voice, "Though all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him and fall away each one from the religion of his fathers, yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the law to depart our faith either from the right hand or the left." And when, in the sight of all, one of the Jews came to sacrifice to the idol, Mattathias was inflamed with zeal, neither could he forbear to show his anger, and he slew him, and also the king's officer, and the altar he pulled down. And Mattathias cried throughout the city with a loud voice, saying, "Whosoever is zealous of the law and maintaineth the covenant, let him follow me." So he and his sons fled into the mountains, and they went about pulling down the heathen altars, and they rescued the law out of the hands of the Gentiles. And the days of Mattathias drew near that he should die, and he said to his sons, "Be ye zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers. Remember what our fathers did in their generations. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation, and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Phinehas, our father, for that he was zealous exceedingly, obtained the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. David, for being faithful, inherited the throne of a kingdom forever and ever. Throughout all the ages, none that put their trust in God were overcome. Therefore, be strong, my sons, and show yourselves men in behalf of the law, for therein shall ye obtain glory." And he blessed them and was gathered to his fathers. Then Judah called Maccabee rose up in his stead, and all his brethren aided him, and they fought with gladness the battle of Israel. He battled like a lion, and the lawless shrunk for fear of him. He cheered Jacob by his mighty acts, and his memorial is blessed forever. And when all the people feared and trembled at the sight of a great number of the enemy and said, "What? Shall we be able, being a small company, to fight against so great and so strong a multitude?" Judah answered, "With a God of heaven, it is all one to save by many or by few. And all the people shall know that there is one who redeemeth and saveth Israel." And Judah led them into battle. And behold, the hosts of the enemy were discomfited before them. And Israel had a great deliverance. And they sang songs of thanksgiving and praised the Lord of heaven for his goodness, because his mercy endureth forever. And on the 25th day of Kislev, the same day when 3 years before the altar of God had been profaned by the heathen, the sanctuary of God was dedicated anew with songs and music. And the people praised the God of heaven who had given them great victory. And they celebrated the dedication of the altar for 8 days, and there was great rejoicing among the people. Moreover, Judah and his brethren, with the whole congregation of Israel, ordained that the days of the dedication of the altar should be celebrated from year to year for 8 days in gladness and thanksgiving.
Baruch Ata Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kedashanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu lehidlikener shel Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, she'asah nisim lavateinu. Ba'yamim ha'ahem, ba'zman, ba'zman
It is fitting that we celebrate the success of our mortgage redemption campaign during this Hanukkah season, which commemorates the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem after the defeat of the Syrian conquerors. In a very real sense, the leadership, the workers, and the contributors to this campaign have been engaged in something more than just a fundraising project. They have given generously of their time, their effort, and their substance, and in so doing, they have shown a rededication of their commitment to our temple and to Judaism. By enabling the temple to rid itself of the heavy burden of mortgage debt, they have made it possible for us to continue to concentrate on the things that a temple does best: worship, education, and the creation of a sense of Jewish community for our members through cultural and social activities. We can now continue the high quality of our programs in these areas without dilution due to lack of funding. The initial planning for our mortgage redemption campaign began about a year ago. Those of us who were involved in it went through a great deal of soul searching at that time. The economic climate certainly did not make this a good time for a fundraising campaign. However, since our building fund was due to run dry last July or August, and we still had a mortgage of about $1,100,000, we didn't have much choice but to go ahead with the campaign. As with any campaign, it held many pleasant surprises and a few disappointments. I believe that the thing that impressed our leadership most strongly was the tremendous reservoir of goodwill and loyalty to the temple expressed by so many of our contributors. We traveled a long, hard road, and today, many months later, our total pledges amount to $1,425,000. This makes our campaign an unqualified success. Although we are still slightly under our $1.5 million goal, a number of prospects remain to be contacted. Through the continuing efforts of a few of our workers, we are confident we shall achieve our goal shortly.
This outstanding record was made possible by the efforts of about 125 workers who obtained pledges from several hundred members. In any fundraising campaign, the quality of leadership is crucial. We are fortunate that the five general co-chairmen of our mortgage redemption campaign are outstanding individuals. They have given unstintingly of their time and their money. The success of the campaign lay on their shoulders, and they came through magnificently. At this time, I would like to present each of them with a gift expressing the gratitude of the temple. It is a leather-bound edition of the Torah in a new translation. Each volume is gold embossed with the recipient's name on the cover and the following inscription on the flyleaf. In gratitude for your devoted service as General Co-Chairman of the Mortgage Redemption Campaign. As I call the name of the recipient, would he please come forward, he or she? Norm McClivens?
Thank you very much. Okay.
Claire Shaw.
Thank you, Chair.
Max Eisner. Lois Horvitz. And Leo Dempsey. There are a couple of other awards to be given out. We're fortunate to have a gentleman in our congregation who is a real pro at fundraising. And this man covered more cards by far than any other worker or leader in the campaign, more than any several other workers. I'm referring to Lewis Herman. Lou has done a magnificent job in helping us in this campaign. I believe the count of prospects that Lou has covered is close to 200. And Lou, at this time, it's a pleasure for me to present you with a copy of Rabbi Abihail Silver's second volume of sermons, A Word in Its Season. And it's inscribed as follows. Presented to Louis G. Herman by the Temple, in gratitude for your devoted service in the mortgage redemption campaign. No fundraising campaign can be successful without good public relations. And the temple is most fortunate in this campaign to have a real professional public relations man participating to the fullest extent with us in the campaign. I refer to Nelson Stern, who devoted hundreds of hours to the public relations aspect of this campaign and was most invaluable in his service. Nelson, would you please come forward? I would like to mention a couple of other people who were most important in the success of our campaign. Florence Klein was our Girl Friday, who really ran our campaign office and kept the paperwork and correspondence flowing very smoothly. Florence did a fine job, and we are most appreciative to her. And I would be remiss, lastly, if I didn't say a word about Rabbi Silver. His wise counsel, his continued encouragement of our efforts in the campaign were most valuable. And incidentally, he proved to be probably the most effective fundraiser of any of us. Rabbi Silver, we thank you. In closing, I would like to say I would like to again thank those who worked, those who contributed, and just leave the thought that I hope that your dedication and work for the temple will continue in the years to come. Thank you.